pre-show time and pre-show. Goddamn motherfucker. Pre-show. Hi, it's Phil Henry. It's time for the pre-show. Pre-show.
It's Rock or Bust.
Let me see here, man. I got a couple notes that I'm making here. Launching the boat. And then we have Vernon Dozier on rugby. How difficult to coach. They're opening the cabinet at Butner Lake. And then we're going to have Mixa back on. Good. So, we're going to talk about the Playboy Jazz Festival. I went and spent, you know, a lot of money for tickets, for two tickets, for the Playboy Jazz Festival, because... you know what? It's something we wanted to do. I haven't been to the Playboy Jazz Festival in close to 30 years. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's pretty goddamn close to 30 fucking years. No. When? Well, you know what? I would say that it's more, 25 years. Like late 80s. And, I like it because I like jazz, you know, and I've been going to listen to jazz for ever since I was like in my teens, but I haven't seen a jazz concert in so fucking long. And I don't even know what the hell's going on in the world of jazz. And I purposefully avoid, these days listening to jazz because I don't want to get too far afield of, sort of the guts of the culture as things are, because American culture right now is really fucked up. You know, in my opinion, not fucked up, that's the wrong way of putting it. It's very, very psycho, you know. It's all over the motherfucking place. Everybody's convinced they're fucking right about every goddamn little cut hair fucking political point. Clearly, mentally disturbed patients and strange, weirded out people are standing right there in front of God and man and saying that they're just, they've got, you know, they know the answer. Really, really messed up. And I got to be in the middle of that, see? So the only way to be in the middle of that is to listen to, like, hip-hop and heavy metal. Because that music reflects purely and succinctly and absolutely crystal clear how jive and fucked over the mental state of America is today, period. And I believe that that music, by the way, is not fucked over. I think it's very clearly looking and analyzing and repeating it back. And people may not like hip-hop and metal because It's so accurate. It's dead on fucking accurate. The very people that say they don't like hip-hop should, because hip-hop is actually speaking to them. The very people that say they don't like metal should, because it's speaking to them. And I think metal and hip-hop represent the opposite sides of the same coin, pretty much. Which is a hubris and frustration, both of which are extreme and out of focus of the current, you know, mindset of the world's fucking mindset, of the country's mindset specifically. So, you know. It's rock or bust. I got up from a fucking nap. So this past weekend, we were writing. We were going over our little treatment and our show notes and points on the pilot we are hopefully going to shoot soon. And it's a part of the world of TV that, you know, I'm just not a real fan of. And I think as good as television has gotten, and it's gotten very good, it could be that much better were it not for the fact that you still have in place the same process. You've got 9 million fucking vice presidents who need to weigh in. And, you know, they have a hit show and they pat themselves on the back. They stink it out with, a, you know, 90% of the rest of that shit, and it's always somebody else's fault. That's, you know, there's no place that better exemplifies the old saying that success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan, than television. No place that better exemplifies that. And then the other great quote from which I've mentioned to you, from Steve Levitan, which is, TV is a bunch of people running to a place where lightning just struck. You know, that's another great thing. But if all of the cards fall into place, it'll be a beautiful thing, man. It's Oscar time. Not Oscar time, but it's Emmy time. Or it's mommy time. It's daddy time. So we're going to do our show today with Bob Bacon, Bobby Dooley, Steve Bozell, or Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. Vernon Dosher will be back to talk about rugby, and Don Mixa to recap his Saturday appearance, which actually, as I was doing it, I wasn't quite sure how good it was. But actually, when I heard it back, I was laughing, so I don't know what else to say. If I laugh at stuff that I do, then it's funny to me. And if it's funny to me, that's all it needs to be. And that could be good or bad, but if it's funny to me, that means I'm enjoying my job and my life, and that's really, really important to me. If it's not funny to me, then I'm not enjoying my life and my job, and I'm going to become increasingly mentally deranged, you know. And to answer the question that's probably being asked right now, what if it isn't funny to you, but it's funny to everybody else? That never, ever, ever, ever happens. Never, ever, ever fuck. It never happens to the extent that one is successful consistently. Never. I don't give a shit what anybody tells you. If it is not funny to you, if it's not funny to the performer himself, if he doesn't understand the humor behind what it is he's saying, or better said, if he clearly understands that it is not fucking funny, but people are laughing at it anyway, he's never going to sustain that. He's never going to sustain any success out of that. Never. I don't give a shit. If anybody tells you that they've done that, they're lying. They're fucking lying. And I'll tell them that to their fucking faces, okay? It just doesn't, in other words, it doesn't happen. So what needs to happen right away is you need to, me or you or whoever is doing it, we need to think it's funny. And when we do, we are happy. We are enjoying our work. We can listen to our show. We can go, wow, this is really funny, you know. That happens to me more consistently now than it ever did in the old days of the so-called classic show that people now claim they loved so very much, but was commercially a struggling show. People claim they love it. They loved it. I know people like it now. They like listening to the archives. They like listening. But back then, I think it's like everything else. You know, people will say that, you know, there were 500,000 people at Woodstock, and today, you know, like 2 million people will claim that they were there. Well, I think it's, you know, similar, not in terms of the numbers, but it's a similar dynamic or a similar phenomenon with my show. People will say, oh, it was just a great show. Well, I think those people, I think you could split those people in half. Half of them are full of shit. They never heard the show. Or they had some memory of somebody telling them about the show, and it's a very short, you know, step between that and saying that they heard the show. And I understand that. It's okay. But that show was commercially a show that struggled. It struggled with affiliates. It struggled with advertisers. Now, I am fully prepared to recognize that much of that is the fault of the actual, you know, apparatus that was so-called supporting it, the sales, the marketing, the affiliation people at the different companies I worked at. That was radio in those days. You know, radio is what radio is. And today it's paying the price for, you know, putting all of its eggs into all the wrong baskets. All the wrong fucking baskets. And today, radio is pretty much a joke. Having said that, though, you know, it was at one time a big player, and it paid a lot of money, and I made a lot of that money. But they didn't know really what they were doing. They only knew what the guy at the big office in San Antonio or Cincinnati or New York or wherever the home office of the company was, what they wanted, which, of course, what they wanted was a lot of money. They wanted bottom line, naturally. And that's extremely short-sighted when it comes to the future of a company, because the future of a company depends upon product and it depends upon customer loyalty. And when you are looking at a quarterly bottom line, you don't give a fuck about any of that. It just doesn't, the two things don't go together. A company's long-term health, customer loyalty, product quality does not have anything to do with looking at quarterly numbers. Has nothing to do with it. I don't give a shit. This is another one that I don't give a shit what anybody fucking tells you. The proof of that in the radio business is to take a look at the radio business today. The radio business today is a joke. Doesn't, if it's making money, it's robbing from the talent more than it ever has before. If it's making money, it's doing it by firing people, doing it the traditional radio way, firing lots of people and fattening the bottom line, getting rid of expenses, which is the worst fucking way to show profit. The worst way. This is coming from a small business owner, but even I know that if I'm cutting expenses. And we're talking about in the world of radio, you're cutting muscle. You're not just cutting fat, you're cutting muscle. And then you turn around and you say, look at the profit that we made. Look at the money that we're making. You know, you're only trying to fool yourself, man. You know, there was a period in the history of my little company where I had this accountant tell me, stop spending. Your monthly take last month was way down. We took a hit one month that was very aberrant. I couldn't figure it out. It was strange. I mean, we dropped significantly. And I went, what the fuck is that, man? It was in the middle of the winter, and I realized that there's a lot of business change over the winter time. People, their habits change a little bit, just as they do in the summer. But nonetheless, My accountant calls me and goes into this fucking panic. And I remember saying to him, and I'll never forget it because I was raising my voice. I was so fucking pissed. I said, you don't make money by cutting spending. I said, what are you going to tell me, man? You're going to call me up here in 2 months and 3 months and tell me to tighten the belt some more? What fucking happens, man, when the belt's all the way tight and there's no more fucking belt to tighten? Then what are you going to tell me? He didn't have anything to say to that. I said, the way we make money around here, the way that that I believe we make money is we spend it. We need to spend money on this, 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 and this. I had a whole list of things that we had to do to get business generated. Sure enough, not that the list of things that we did got business generated, but sure enough, the next month, we bounced way back in terms of business. Something happened that month. I personally think it had to do with a cycle. A business cycle that had a particular business, and there's all kinds of cycles that you can look at, but a particular business cycle had come to an end and was starting up again, and money will oftentimes do a spike in the wrong direction on you. But I don't believe in... I don't believe in being a chicken shit, you know, when it comes to my business. If we've got the money to spend to expand this or that or something else, then I believe in doing that. I just don't believe that we throw money away. I believe in getting value for my dollar. I believe in somebody coming through the way they said they would come through for the money that I spent with them. You know, that's all I give a shit about. But I believe in spending money on those things which are important. You know, I don't know how long it took us to really get our shit together with mobile, but I said years ago that we needed to be mobile. The mistake that I did make was in insisting that we be live, that we have live streaming mobile ability. We had live streaming on desktop, but we did not have it yet with the mobile. What I didn't realize was, it hadn't yet really connected with me, was that the on-demand nature of particularly podcasting was enormous, and that people were less and less wanting to stream things live. Well, so no one's using the live stream. Not to any extent that would make it worth our while. You know, very, very small percentage of our subscribers were accessing the show live. Very, very small percentage of people were joining our BSP family because of live stream. They just didn't give a fuck. They didn't give a shit. They just wanted to be able to catch it mobile. They want to be able to watch the show mobile. They want to be able to hear the show mobile. But that could be on-demand stuff. It didn't have to be live. So, naturally, that's a couple of grand, $3,000 a month that we said, we don't need to be spending it. It isn't that I cut out the live aspect of things because we didn't have the money. We have the fucking money, but I don't believe in throwing fucking $2,500 a month away. Now, something came up on Friday, actually came up last week. People said, well, we'd like to do the chat live, live mobile. I said, oh, okay. So to that extent, we embed a player once a week for our chats now. So last Friday night, you guys that were with us for the chat, you recall seeing the mobile end of it. And we had the usual mobile lag time. We had like a minute of lag between the time that you sent your tweet and or you sent your chat message and the time you saw me respond to it. That's just the way it is in the world of our kind of live streaming. Don't ask me how fucking Periscope does it. I really don't know if there is a lag. There's a few seconds of lag on Periscope. As I remember, when we were sitting up at the La Playa Azul in Santa Barbara, I was there with Johnny Bean, and I was there with Lauren and myself, and we were having dinner, and we decided to do a Periscope while we were having dinner, and Johnny was sitting across, and he pulled out his phone and was watching the Periscope, the broadcast we were doing. And he told me, you know, there's a little bit of lag happening here, man. Not much, but a little. Not as much as like a full minute. I don't know how many seconds it was, but there it was, you know, staggered a bit. It's a damn good little bit of social media. I'm not exactly sure if people have figured it out yet. And I haven't jumped into it the way I jumped into Twitter and the way a lot of people did. I want to wait and see. You know, the idea that you just sit there and answer questions sounds great. But there's so much more you could do with that. I would rather perform for people than sit there and answer fucking questions. Unless, of course, you know, I do it in character or some shit the way the way we used to do it on the show. What the fuck am I looking at, man? God, there's some weird shit on TV. Weird shit on TV. All right, man. I'm going to go and grab something to drink. I'll be right back. Okay, well, that's cool. I want to...
Hey, Thunder.
I don't know if Thunder's going to come downstairs here or not. But,
Thunder.
She probably will. You know, halfway through the show. This cat here is Poncho. And that cat is Lauren's cat. And he's a big guy, man. That dude is big. That's last Christmas I was stoking the fire there. But Thunder is a little tiny cat. She's a female. And let's see something, man. Okay. That's interesting. All right. Thunder's a little female. She's only about a year old. And but, you know, she's getting her shit together, and you know, cats are supposed to be, you know, they got to get mice, they got to chase the vermin, man. Cats earn their keep by kicking ass on flies, bugs, all that shit. That's what they do. And Thunder is cool. I let her go outside and all that stuff. But if flies get in with the door open, because the screen door is too fucking hard to open and close all the fucking times, so I just leave the door open. And Thunder goes out on the deck. We have a upstairs deck, and we got a downstairs patio and all this shit, but pretty much she's upstairs. But she gets to go out there and kind of look around and do her thing. But if any flies get in, she better get those goddamn flies, and she does. You know, that's her job, man. Okay, you get to go outside, but the fly got in. You better get in here and get that fly, man. And she's all, meow. I go, yeah. Yep, that's where it's at, Jack. And she'll go, meow. You know, cool. And you understand? Meow, meow. All right, great. Go do it. Go to it, man. And then we'll, you know, I'll give her... they have now, I don't know if you know this or not, for dogs and cats, they now have little, it's almost like candy or potato chip, like what candy and potato chips are to us. They have little cat and dog treats. They have crunchy exteriors and, you know, like, you know, French onion dip in the middle or some shit, like nougat interiors, almost like candy. Only it's not candy. It's like fish flavored or milk flavor or some shit. And God damn it. Now, I don't know who the guy was that developed these fuckers, because he knows cats and dogs. Man, those cats and those dogs, they eat that shit like it's going out of style, man. They fucking rather eat that stuff than like regular good dog and cat food. And when I worked for old man Job, I worked for Dr. Job. He used to say, he was a veterinarian I worked for back when I was just out of high school. He said, the dogs get meat and meal. We had a big bag of meal that we mixed in with the meat. The cats get straight meat. And don't pull your dick out, Henry, and start going, huh, like this, huh, because I'll make you feed that to a cat. Well, God, Dr. Job, no, you'll feed that to a cat. So that's what my philosophy has been, because I learned that from the man, you know. You just feed the cats meat, that's it. You don't give them any other shit. And that goddamn temptation shit, I'm going to have to wean her off of that big time. Because I don't need me no cat that's a fat fuck of a cat. You dig? All right, man. Promo, subscribe, Bobby Steve. Butner Lake launching, Vernon. Then we go to, this is the podcast one promo. Now we're doing Bobby and Steve... daily audio. I gotta get over here to the helicopter. There, Bobby and Steve. Then we're gonna go to Vernon Dozier, who is at the gym as usual. The gym. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men. Then we got Don Mixa. All day long they work so hard till the sun going down. Working on the highways and cafe, outdoor cafe. I like that one. It's outdoor cafe for Don Mixa. You hear them moaning their lives away. Then you hear somebody say, that's the sound of the men. Testing to. Stand by. I thought we put the fucking number on this goddamn phone, man. We may... Oh, you motherfucking cunt bitch. Test, test. Hold on. Where's the goddamn phone, man? Character phone, there we go. What? Fucking cunt. Oh, you fucking whore. No, that's not. Wait a minute, man. That's the sound of the men. 95 224. Oh, wait a minute. Come on, baby. There it is.
Testing, testing. Well, I can tell you, Phil, it's for my money. Boy, I tell you what, Phil, for my money, I don't think there's any chance in a million years. Well, for my money, Phil, I don't think there's any chance in a million years you're going to see any of these Negroes. I don't think so. I really don't think so. But I'll tell you what, I've got, that sounds great.
Testing 1, 2. Testing. See, this, I can't get anybody to understand. They don't understand, you know.
Testing 1, 2. This is...
That's a lot louder in the headphones than my voice is, see? And, you know, it's extremely distracting. It may be looking good on the board. That doesn't mean a motherfucking thing. If it looks good on the board and everything is balanced properly, That's all well and good. That looks good on the board. And that doesn't mean shit to anyone other than some fucking audio geek fucking engineer guy who doesn't get that what I'm hearing in the fucking cans is different. And so it's fucking my perception of the sound up, and I can't mix the motherfucking show properly. You see? Stand by. And thank you for listening. All right, here we go.